year is going to be on Purim. So we already gave a shir, but that was more about the mitzvahs. Now I explain more about what happened on Purim. So Purim, we know from the Gemara, you heard that yesterday, the Gemara in Shabbos, the Hadra Kiblua B'Yemei HaChashverosh, the Torah, when they received in Har Sinai, was so clear, they had such clarity, that there was no option for not to accept it.
Isn't
Peches? Huh? Yes, Peches. There was no option not to accept the Torah.
Because they put the mountain.
Yeah, it says, B'tachti Saha, they were underneath the Har, the Kodesh Baruch Hu put the Har Sinai on top of them, Kagigis, like a barrel. They said, oh, you accept the Torah, or here will be the place of your burial. And the Maral, Ramban, they explained the onus was because they had such clarity. It wasn't an option. They saw Kodesh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, right? They saw the Merkava. There wasn't an option not to accept the Torah. Purim, there was an option. Purim says Rashi, Kimu Mashi Kiblu Kva Kimu. They established to them what they already received. And now Rashi says, the kiblu me'avas anes, from the love of the nes. So yesterday I asked the question, what did Rashi mean, the avas anes? Avas anes means, what's love? What's love? Love means rotzen. Love means that you want to do the rotzen of someone else. And when you love someone, you love doing for them. You love giving them, you love helping them, right? You want to do what their rotzen is. So me'avas hanes, they came to an understanding of something they didn't have beforehand. Seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu, having a clarity that this is the rotzen of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to keep it. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Melech Malchei Melechim. This is his will. There's no choice. But when you're living a life so rachok, so distant, so removed from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't see Melech Malchei Melechim. You know, you drink smoothies, you have your burgers, your schnitzels, right? Schnitzel day, right? Where's the Kodesh Baruch Hu? You go to America, you go to the mall, you see Kodesh Baruch Hu there? Where? You roam around the whole of America, you can miss the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? You go to China, where's the Kodesh Baruch Hu? We don't see him. There's no clarity. Most of our lives, we have to look for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is hidden. That's why the world is called Olam. Loshen Ne'elam, hidden. So you don't see Kodesh Baruch Hu. Purim, it's called Megillas Esther. Explain this. Megillah means revelation from Loshen of Gilui, right? And Esther is hidden. It's a revelation of that which is hidden. When a person gets to a level that he sees in his life, he sees that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one guiding him through all the little things that happen to his life that seem as individual little events seem negligible, not so important, you know? He happened to go to university, you know, and that day he wasn't feeling so good, or didn't have any, the guys didn't go out with the guys because he wasn't feeling so good, so went to the Hillel, and then met this Chabad rabbi, or this Maor rabbi, right? And they had a chat, and there was good food, and he came again, and who knows, little things. We all have those little things that bring this big picture. All of a sudden, when those little things are happening, we have no revelation. They're not so important. They're not really anything that happened to us that's major, you know. It wasn't Kriyas Yamsuf. There wasn't, you know, there was nothing like major happened. There wasn't a Kriyas Baruch Hu. We didn't see a Kriyas Baruch Hu in our lives. And all of a sudden, after a lot of little things, we're in Yeshiva. We're hearing Megillas Esther. Then we begin to think about our lives. Those little things in Megillas Esther. Mordechai. He hears about plotting against against Achashverosh. He tells the king. It's forgotten about in the Megillah. Haman, you know, Agagi, Yeah, no one's banging with their foot here, right? Amalek, he wants to uproot the Jewish people for Betzah Kesef, a little bit of money, a lot of money. And Ahasuerus is masking. The Jewish people were on a low level. They were besudas Ahasuerus at the beginning of the Megillah. They were drinking from the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us, it was all kosher, apart from the women. They connected with the goyim, they were assimilating. Ahasuerus caused that assimilation. There was an assimilation process. They deserved destruction, Chas v'Shalom, because of that. So name Shul Yisrael. We were in a bad way. We were in Golus. Vashti, because she didn't want to, you know, involve herself in this process, because she didn't look so good. Chazal say, you know, she had saras, because of she was oppressing the Jews that she had, her maidservants to work on Shabbos. But she had saras, and she didn't come out. She was killed, because he was drunk. Little things. Then they're looking for a queen. Out of all the people in the world, they found a nice Beis Yaakov girl to be queen, who happened to be from Malchus. She was an orphan, and Mordechai took her as a took her in as a wife.
Weren't they cousins?
They were cousins, yeah. He was her uncle, but he married her. Chazal say he took her as a bat, as a daughter. And Chazal Derish, bat means bias, means a wife. Rashi brings it to Chazal, to Megillah, to Gemara Megillah. A poor orphan girl whose uncle married her, right? That was Mordechai. Now she was taken away. She was brought to the king. She didn't ask for anything. She listened to her husband. She was taken to this king who was a Rasha. Like Rashi says, Hu Achashverosh. A Rasha. Mitchila Toad Sofa. That's a, how many people you can say was a Rasha from his beginning till the end? That's the Megillah says about him. This poor girl gets taken and is raped by this, I don't know what to say, this like animal. Doesn't sound anything good here happening to Jewish people. And she doesn't say she's Jewish, she's frightened. And Mordechai tells her not to say, and he's asking her. And she's not saying, can you imagine? Not saying because her husband tells her not to say, Mordechai says not to say. And this king who could kill her in one moment. He killed the last queen who was from royalty because he didn't have any royalty and he married her because of her royalty and he killed her in a second. Well, any problem with some like orphan Jewish girl to kill? Does she have any security there? Anyone looking after her there in the palace of the king? No. This doesn't sound like such a great story. As things are building up and there's Haman roaming around, who you know is is Amaleki, who wants to kill any Jew, you're going to tell the king you're Jewish and Haman's like best friends with the king? Forget it. You're finished. And Haman's not so second in command here, as we understand from the Megillah, right? So things are looking really bad for the Jewish people. Now we have all these posters being sent, all these letters being sent out. Haman with his wife's witchcraft, right? And she was good. She was tops. Knew the day to destroy Chas v'Shalom, so named she Yisrael. Zayin Adar, the day Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta. Says Chazal, he didn't realize he was also born on that day. That's the Nahaf Ochu. But from the point of view of the Jewish people, there's not a lot of hope yet. What happens? Nadadash Natamelech. The queen asks Haman, asks the queen, she goes, she risks her life to go to the king in the middle of the night and ask him to come to a Suda with Haman. That brings on to the king thoughts of conspiracy. He couldn't sleep that night. Nadadash Natamelech. He looks in the Sefer Zichronot. He looks for someone who told him about people who were conspiring, you know, making conspiracies against him. He found the Mordechai, that Jew who knows many languages, told him about two people were planning a plot against his life. Nothing was done for this person. Haman's at the door. He walks in. The king asks him, "Nu, what did you do to a person who found favor in the eyes of the king?" So who Haman thinks? Him. He found favor in the eyes of the king, right? So of course, what does Haman say? You make him wear the king's clothes. Now the king's really suspect of Haman. He wants to be, the cover he wants is he's going to go in the streets saying, "Kach yaseh," that's what you do. "L'ish asher," the person which the king finds yikar be'enav, the glory in his eyes, or I don't know how you say it.
Favor
in his eyes. He wants to be dressed in the king's clothes. The king's more suspect of him. The king gets annoyed and says, "Do that to Mordechai." Now, things are changing. Then he gets called in to the Suda. And then the king is beginning to worry even more. Then the next day, Esther says she's going to tell who she is. And then the next day, she calls in Haman again. And then is the moment of Gorali. These are two people that it just happens to be that the king's suspecting Haman of taking over. And just at that moment, and it's a moment, because in a few days' time, they'll be friends again. Queen Esther says, "Ha'ish hara azeh, Haman, he's the one, Sora Yehudim," and she says she's Mizera Yehudi, from Binyamin, from Melucha. And the king, at the height of the moment, now Haman's begging for his life. Doesn't see this in begging his life. Sees it trying to do something with Esther. That brings on his jealousy. And then, at that moment of rage, someone tells him, "See the pole that Haman made for Mordechai Yehudit standing there, who spoke well for the king. Haman made it for him who spoke well for the king." So he says, "Put him on the eights." And now for who? The whole thing changes. So all those bad things, that bad day that was picked, Zion, Adar, all changed for the good. When did that happen? Just at the end. Just at the end. The whole tone of the Megillah changes. From bad, and that same bad turns into good. When a person realizes that, what does he see? He sees that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with him all the time. Even in those bad times, when he was down, when he looked, chas v'shalom, destruction of the Jewish people, it wasn't there to destroy us. It was there to waken us up, for us to change. When a person comes to that realization, there's a tremendous ahava, that even when I thought you weren't around, you didn't care, you were distant from me, I had no connection with you, really you were pulling the strings, really you were helping. When a person realizes that all the difficulties of his life, he's the one who's pulling the strings, that brings a person to a very, very deep ahava, that you really care. And when a person sees that, what do you want to do? That's called Avas HaNes. He sees the Nes. He sees that even in those dark places, it's really Kodesh Baruch Hu helping him out. Really Kodesh Baruch Hu straightening him out. Really Kodesh Baruch Hu there for him all the time. And that Ava makes him want to throw everything to Kodesh Baruch Hu, wants to make him give his whole self to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfa. That Avas Hanes brings him to a tremendous rotzen, a tremendous will to connect with his Creator, and a desire to connect. That's Kabbalah Satara. That's the Nes of Purim. You understand? The story doesn't finish. Mordechai and Esther are there in the palace. All Haman's sons are killed. The decree of the king can't be brought back, but he allows the Jews to fight for their lives. And they fight. Yud Gimel, right? That's why many days of Purim, right? Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav, right? Gam Lamacha. Macha means later on in time. There'll be a fight. Yeah? That's always a fight, Negad Amalek, the Ra in the world. So how should it finish? Should finish. Mordechai and Esther become king and queen and they live happily ever after, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Ahasuerus is still around. Esther's still married to this Russia. He didn't do tshuva. He didn't become a Baal tshuva. He didn't become a ger. He's still Ahasuerus mitkilato at sofa the Russia. And Mordechai is in the palace watching her, his wife, married to this Russia. Had a child from him. Didn't have a child from Mordechai. Think about the pain of that orphan girl, and the pain of that husband who lived their whole lives with this Russia taking his wife. That's the end of the Megillah. That's when everything is good. It doesn't remain, and they lived happily ever after. Lived happily ever after Disney, movie. This is real life. Certain things in life you can solve. Certain things in life you can't solve. You have to live with them and you have to accept them. But you can still live with the Simcha of Purim. Because when a person accepts the problems in life that he can't solve and he doesn't try and change them, but he sees the ones that he's seen. The Kodesh Baruch has already taught him that when it seemed bad, later on in life he saw the good in it. So now he can live with that emunah, that these unsolvable problems are there for some reason to solve something in him. And therefore he can live with them now after Purim. But that's only after Purim. After a person gets a realization that when it was really bad and he was down under, right? And that changed Nahafachu to be good, where he is now and he has unsolvable problems and he has to live with them and he has to accept them, he has the emunah that those unsolvable problems, and maybe they won't be solved this whole of his lifetime, in the world to come, you'll see. And you have that emunah that there's a reason for them. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu cares. And he gave them those unsolvable problems to solve something very deep in him. Because that's what he was created for. You weren't created for the smoothie. This is not Disney World. There's no happy ever after in this world. You have to work hard and to come close to the Creator. And sometimes you have problems, and only through those problems you can come close to the Creator. Avraham Avinu didn't have issues. He didn't have a son who went off the derech. Yitzhak didn't have an Esav. Yaakov didn't have the brothers fighting with each other. Ad kedekach, they nearly killed them. Avraham didn't lose Sarah because of the Akedas Yitzchak. Rivka lost her favorite son. Neri was killed, was stolen all his money. Leah had an easy life. She was, whole life she was told she was going to marry Esau. Then she finally married Yaakov, and he hated her. This tzaddik. Easy life. Einei Leah rakot. Why? She was crying the whole time. Yaakov had it easy. Esav, Lavan. Then he was cheated. Then he had to work hard. He wants his Bechira Avos. He wants to sit in Mishiv and learn.
Yosef, that's what it is.
Yeah, sold his favorite son. Was sold. He never saw him for 17 years. Came prince of Egypt. Oh, that's what Yaakov wanted for his son. You know, nice yeshiva bach. He wants to sit in yeshiva and learn. Yaakov ishtam yoshev olim. That's what he did for his whole life. When he met Paro, what did he tell him? My life was painful and ma'at. Doesn't sound like a good life. We're not about smoothies. We're not about having a good life. We're about having a purposeful life, a meaningful life of living in order to connect with our Creator. That's what we're here for. That's what Purim's about. Purim's about seeing all the pains in life and having that reality, that realization that these things are good for us, even though we don't understand. Even Rabbi Yochanan said, lo about Isurim. Rabbi Yochanan represented the Shechina. It's a Gemara in Brachas. He represented the Grosset. It's a Christ of the Shechina of Yerushalayim. He had the beauty. He had 10 sons that died on him. And he used to go around with a bone of his sons. Less than a Kadasha, says the Gemara, that wouldn't be Mekabel Tumah. And he'd be Menachem people who had pains. And Rabbi Yochanan said it himself about the pains that he had in his life. And these weren't pains because of Averis that he did. These were pains, says Rashi there, the Gemara, Isurim Shel Ava, that without any sins, he got these difficulties in life. To give him more reward in the world to come. We can't understand these things. Did Rabbi Yochanan understand them? No. What did Rabbi Yochanan say in the Gemara? He says, Lohem velo scharam. Don't give me these difficulties, don't give me these pains, and don't give me the reward for them. I can live without this. He didn't understand them. Who are we to understand them? That's the Nes of Purim. The Nes of Purim is living with that emunah, that when we have difficulties in life that we can't solve, that ultimately there's a rotzen. Ultimately it's ba'ava. It's Avos HaNes. One day we'll get to see that clarity, why these difficulties happen specifically and how they happen to us and how they bring us to that clarity and that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the meantime, we have that emuna. I have to live with Simcha of Purim. Even though it's not a Hollywood ending. Mordechai and Esther was not a Hollywood ending. Psala v'tzameicha. Layudim hayta or v'simcha sasim v'yika. It's a happy holiday. It's a holiday. We come to such a close rotzen of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Such a connection. It's dome. Yom Kippur is Kippur is dome to Purim. What a person reaches on Yom Kippur through Ta'anit, through fasting and davening, he's like a malach. And the fifth tefillah is the Ne'ilat's prayer. It's a revelation of Matan Torah. It's a revelation of the Yud Gimel Midas. The highest level of Rachamim. Yom Slicha V'Kapara. That's Yom Kippur. Is only similar to Purim. This someone told me. He says that in Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu went into the Anan. He went into the Anan. He went into the clouds. Pe al pe da bebo. He spoke face to face with the Kodesh Baruch Hu when he went up to the Mount Har Sinai. Right? 40 days and 40 nights. When the Mishkan was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was living with us, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into the Mishkan. Says Ramban, the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't enter the Mishkan when the Anan was on the Mishkan. Only when the Anan went up, the cloud went up, could Moshe Rabbeinu enter. What? Har Sinai went into the Anan. The Mishkan, he didn't go. What's the answer? This person said the answer. When the Anan came down into the world, when the Shekhinah was in the world, that's a much higher level than when you go up to the Shekhinah. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't reach that level. Had to wait for the Anan to go up. That's the difference in Yom Kippur and Purim. Yom Kippur, we go up to the Anan. When the Anan comes down to us, when the Shekhinah comes down to us, that's Purim. When we realize in our actual individual lives, God's presence with us, that's a much higher level. That's a level we can't live with. That's a level of emunah we have to believe in. We can't understand that level. We can understand bits of that. That's something we can't understand. When you go to Har Sinai and Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to you, you can understand it. Kodesh Baruch Hu is speaking to you. Na'aseh v'nishma, we can understand that. The level is the highest level that man can reach. But it's understood, man can reach that level. Moshe Rabbeinu reached that level, man can reach whatever level Moshe Rabbeinu reached. But when the Anan comes down, when the Shekhinah comes down, and in our individual lives, seeing every moment, every difficulty, all the bad that happens, is nafoch to good, is really good, that we can't see in this world. That's only the world to come. That the Anan has to come up, and then we can go into the Mishkan. That's a much higher level. That's Purim. Purim is a time of a revelation. This Megillah is a revelation of the Yukibu Midas. Because the biggest rachamim is when a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes that bad and it's really our good. That's the highest level of kavod to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the highest level of rachamim. That's what Purim is. And living with those problems which are unsolvable, that's what Purim gives us. That's the koach of Purim. And living the simcha, living with joy, living with avas anes, with that understanding that everything here in this world, all those bad things, is really a Kodesh Baruch Hu behind them, even though we have no understanding of it. We have no understanding when the Anan is in the Mishkan, we can't get there. We can't understand that. We know that that's the revelation of Purim. We know from the little things that we see that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu there. We don't understand, but we know. And that's what a person reaches on Purim. That's why. To reach that, and that's called Mechias Amalek. Amalek puts in us those sveikas that the bad is happening to us because whatever. We're bad people, we're this, I don't know what, he puts into our minds. To miayesh us, to make us forget a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to remove us from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How can a Kodesh Baruch Hu do this to me? I'm in yeshiva now, I'm learning, I became frum. And look at my life. If I wasn't frum, it would be easier. Sometimes a person thinks that way. And it might even be a little true. School fees, all the problems being from Jew. You never had those things when you were not from. Be like a goy, drink smoothies the whole day. What's the problem, you know? Big deal, they don't seem to have a lot of issues, you know? Jews are ones all over the world were hated. Oh, and the frummer you are, the better it is, right? Because we're responsible, as Rabbi Trivet said. It's not stam. We're really responsible for the whole world. And they realize it. Well, they might not say it. They might attack us and give us double standards. But that's the reason. Connecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a difficult process. Meaning, getting meaning in the world of Hester Ponim, the world of smoothies, the world of schnitzels, right? That's the world we live in. Finding a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the schnitzel is hard. Is hard. But he's there. He's there in the smoothie. He's there in the schnitzel. He's there in the physical world. That's why Purim, we eat. We eat. It's not like Yom Kippur. We indulge. You know, jokingly people call Purim Chag HaMamtakim, the festival of the sweets. That's you. You're eating sweets all the time. You're passing sweets over this guy, getting sweets back, wine and sweets. Dvar metukim. It's in the Gemara, the Besumim, right? Mini matika. It's great in the Gemara. Right? They had their mini matuki was without sugar and stuff like that. You know, it's probably healthier. Right? For those Americans who are interested in health foods, right? This was not an advertisement. Right? But that's what Purim is. It's not a day you eat like regular food. It's a day of onyx, day of kirvas Hashem in the physical. And we satiate ourselves. Yom Kippur, we negate our bodies by not giving it anything, by davening the whole day. Purim, because you have time to daven or learn. You're sending presents to everyone. You're sending sweets to everyone, right? It's a very important day for davening and learning. You shouldn't give up on that if you can. Whatever time you have, you should be doing that. It's a very, very special time. Because the revelation that you've given me, it's like Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is the whole day. From the time of the Megillah till the night is Ne'ilah. It's a long time. And then what do? We can't understand cognitively our lives and all that's happening to us. That's the Anan. We can't. We're frightened to enter there. No go for us. We can't get an understanding there. So in order to understand that depth of our persona, we can't understand that cognitively. We have to remove our das. That's with the wine. The wine is the final thing we do. After Sudas Purim, we drink that wine. We don't know the difference between the bracha of Mordechai and the Arum Mor Haman. We don't know the difference. Either the same. When the Ra of Aru Haman becomes Baruch Mordechai, that we can't understand with Das. That we need the wine and Purim, the day of Purim itself. And when we lose our Das, then enters into us the Ha'ara of Purim, the radiance of God's presence of the day, the Yud Gimel Midas, and in a certain level of understanding without Das, we get to an understanding that even Arur Haman, even the bad of Haman, is really a Baruch Mordechai. And that's called Mechia Samalek. When the Ra is Nefach Letov, when the Ra is changed to be in itself the source of good, that's when we remove the Ra from the world and the Ra becomes the good. That's the Mechia Samalek. And we do that B'Shtiyas Yayim. And that's the end of the day, and we go to sleep. And in our unconscious self, we reach the heights of what Purim represents. And that's what a person can reach. The maximum a person can reach in this world, that's reaching the level of the Mishkan with the Anan. Shechina b'tachtonim, with the Anan. Not on a level of conscious, because even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get there in a conscious self. B'zal Hashem, we should all be zoche to drink wine in a proper way, because there's two ways of drinking wine. There's wine of simcha, and that brings us to kirvas elokim, closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's wine of shichrus, of drunkenness, and that brings us to physicality. So if we're drinking wine, it brings us to physicality, we're missing out on Purim. We're taking ourselves to the wrong place. We drink a wine of simcha, and we snirdam mitoch shichruto. That's the lashon of the Rambam. We fall asleep through our drinking, and we get to that non-cognitive level of persona, which is out to the highest level a human being can reach, to be mechaber, to connect with the shechina b'tachtonim. Bezrat Hashem, we all zochet a little bit of Purim. Bezrat Hashem.